You glad to be here? Do you like the person you're sitting next to? Whoa, good job you said that. Amen. Anybody ready for the message today? I got a word. I just want to bring just a brief message to encourage you. Father, I pray for everybody here today. I don't know what kind of week they've had, but Lord, they're here. They made it to church, and what a great thing. And Lord, we just pray as we just have a message from the Bible that you speak to our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we've got our Bible study on faith. It's going well. Everybody's invited to come along to that. It's going to be great. Who remembers that a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, I started a series from the book of Hebrews? That would be the most disrupted Bible series in all of history. Seriously. And but we're getting through it. We've got memory verses in the newsletter there. You can check that out. But today's message is actually based in Hebrews 11. So I just want everybody to know that. But I want to start off today's message with a question. How would you feel, good or bad, if you won or inherited a large amount of money? Pretty good, hey? Just use your imagination right now. Imagine if you won a huge amount of money, and I'm just going to pluck a figure out of the air. Serious money I'm talking about. Serious. What if you won or inherited $100 million? Okay, let's not stop there. Let's go $200 million. Amen, amen. Just imagine that. Well, you know, if you want that kind of money, and everybody imagines this sort of thing from time to time, who's ever imagined that you win that money and to try and help the Lord give it to you, you'd say, I'd tithe on it. But you know, if you won that kind of money, all your financial needs would be met. Desires, a lot of desires would be met. You'd be able to buy a new house. In fact, you'd be able to buy more than one new house. You'd be able to buy new cars. You would be able to buy new designer label clothes. And ladies, you'd be able to buy all the shoes you could possibly want. You'd be able to go on lots of holidays. You'd be able to fly first class everywhere. Hey, if you've got $100 million, you'd be able to buy your own jet. Maybe two of them. What a dream. What a dream. How nice would that be? What a dream. But ladies and gentlemen, it's just a dream. That's all I want to say about that. Last year, I hit the jackpot. Last year, I won $1,000 worth of Light and Easy meals. I was big time. Even the lady was excited when she phoned me up to tell me. And that's about the only thing I've ever won in my life, Light and Easy meals. And it was a good feeling to win. And it's hard not to think about winning money when there's so many adverts on TV promoting Lotto and Powerball and all that sort of stuff. You know what I mean? And also a lot of those ads, I've got to be honest, I actually don't like these ads, promoting online sports betting. Who knows about those ads? I think they should be banned off TV. But the truth is, many, many people around the world dream about having the wealth that you have today. And so it'd be nice to win lots of money, but to a lot of other people around the world, they think you've got a lot of money, and they think you're rich. If you've got clean water to drink, clothes on your back, food to eat, a bed to sleep in at night, you're amongst the wealthiest people in the world. Isn't that right? Is that right? So that's the truth. Nonetheless, today, briefly, I just want to talk about the Bible, a man from the Bible. The Bible introduces us to the man who scored the lottery ticket of all lottery tickets. I want to speak about the man, briefly, who scored the lottery ticket of all lottery tickets. And for all of you theologians out right now, you're just trying to figure out, now who's he going to talk about? His name was Moses. And he scored the lottery ticket of all lottery tickets. He scored big time. Let me explain. Moses had a humble beginning. He was born into a very poor Hebrew family in Egypt. His father was a slave. His father slaved away making bricks for the many building projects of the ruling ancient Egyptians. When Moses was a newborn baby, his life was under threat straight away from birth. This was because Pharaoh had decreed that all the Hebrew baby boys had to be killed at birth. This was done because the Hebrews were having too many babies and they were becoming hard to control. Everybody still with me? Can you hear me? So Moses' mother, does anybody know what her name was? Jochebed. Rochelle got it right because she heard it in the first service. Moses' mother, Jochebed, there's a name for your child, hid Moses in a cot among the reeds of the Nile River in an attempt to save her baby's life. Moses' older sister, who was named Miriam, you guys are smarter than the first service people. Yeah, okay. She kept an eye on the cot to see what would happen to her baby brother. And one day, the princess, Pharaoh's daughter, came down to the Nile River for a swim, and she saw the cot floating in the water. So she told her servant to go and get the cot for her. So a servant did, brought it to her. And when the princess saw the cute little baby boy inside the cot, and he was probably crying, her heart just melted, and she claimed him as her own son and took him home. And this Egyptian princess was the one that gave the name Moses to Moses. It was from her. And that young Egyptian princess was Moses' lottery ticket to wealth and power. He had hit the jackpot. Consequently, Moses, instead of growing up as a slave, he grew up as a prince in the house of Pharaoh. He had the best education. He ate the best food. He had all of his needs met. And he wore all the famous designer label clothes, just like we don't. And Moses was immersed in the lifestyle of the rich and the famous. He was invited to all the parties. Plus, he was destined to inherit great wealth, great fame, and great power. The sky was the limit for this emerging young man. And if the cards fell his way, and he'd already thought about this, and his mates had probably talked with him about this, if the cards fell his way, he could potentially have been even in line for the throne of Pharaoh. Kill a few other people off, and you're in line for the throne of Pharaoh. From slavery to the house of Pharaoh, Moses had hit the jackpot. He was the luckiest guy in town. He'd walk down the street and people would say, "There goes the luckiest guy in town. Oh, there goes the luckiest guy in town." He was the luckiest guy in Egypt. Some people, religious people, probably the Hebrews, may have even reasoned that success was a sign that Moses was favored by God. Oh yeah, it's got to be God. Yeah. But Moses did not see himself as the luckiest guy in town. He saw things completely differently. You've got to hear this story. The Bible says this in Hebrews 11:24. It was by faith. Can everybody say faith? Faith. The Australian way, faith. The English way, faith. Amen. Praise God. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's extraordinary. Why did Moses refuse? Moses' refusal is astounding. And it's astounding because we need to understand that the day Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter was the same day that he lost all of his wealth, prestige, and power. And that same day, he lost access to the rich and the famous, and he was no longer invited to the parties. Refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter was like someone deciding to toss away the biggest lottery win ever. Just didn't make sense. What was the matter with the boy? And for Moses, it was even worse. His decision was even worse because he ended up being on the run for his life. So what was the problem with Moses? Why did he refuse the privileges and wealth of Pharaoh? What was wrong with it? Couldn't he have used the wealth for good? What was the matter with this guy? Many people have said, he's just totally crazy. Others would have said, spiritual Christian type people would have said, how ungrateful Moses was to God. How ungrateful was he to God because God had blessed him with such good fortune. How selfish of Moses. Indeed, the same person would have said, indeed, God should have blessed someone else, me, instead of Moses. Moses is such a loser. But this was no light decision that Moses made. Moses knew the consequences, and there were many. He knew what people would say, and they did. So why did Moses refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? Why did he decide to give up all of that money? Well, the Bible says, again, we revisit it. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We've read that. Instead, he chose to share the oppression of God's people. What? What? He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer. What? For the sake of Christ and to own the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking ahead to his great reward. So Moses went from slavery to Pharaoh's house because of providence, but he went from Pharaoh's house to slavery because of his own choice. And that choice just simply did not make sense to a lot of people. People would have said, Moses, you're doing it wrong. Why do you want to hang out with the Hebrews, the Israelites? Why do you want to hang out with the Israelites? After all, the Israelites, the Hebrews, they're just slaves for the Egyptians. So why do you want to hang out with losers? You know, what's the matter with you? You've got to hang out with the Egyptians because the Egyptians are rich. The Egyptians were powerful. The Egyptians were successful. The Egyptians were having fun. The Egyptians had it all together. I'm talking about the Bible Egyptians here. And isn't the goal of life to have possessions, friends, and fun? That's what many people think. But the Hebrews, Israelites, they're poor. They've got nothing to offer you. Hebrews are oppressed, actually. They're cursed. The Hebrews, they were failures. The Hebrews didn't have many parties. They didn't have a lot to laugh at. They didn't have any fun. Why would you want to be with those people? So, of course, everybody knew that. So Moses just completely rocked the nation with his decision. He completely rocked the household of Pharaoh with his decision when he chose to align himself with the Hebrews, Israelites, and not the Egyptians. And this was just a huge insult to the Egyptians and to Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh was just so angry with Moses and his behavior that he tried actually to kill him. And even some of the Hebrews misunderstood Moses, and they rejected him too. Rejected by Egyptians, rejected by the Israelites, the Hebrews. And so Moses had to leave the land and run away and live in the wilderness, far from the comfort of the palace, far from the comforts of Egypt. Everybody still with me? Here's a question for you. If you were Moses, if you were in Moses' position, what would you have done? Would you have done the same thing as Moses? Would you have pulled the pin on your success for something more meaningful? Would you have walked away from Pharaoh and all the wealth of Egypt? Would you do that? I reckon that'd be really hard to do. It'd be hard for me because I like comfortable things. I like good food. I like nice clothes. And I could get used to having a jet. Amen. Seriously, it would be hard, wouldn't it? You know, we try to be spiritual, but come on, let's just think about it. It was hard. However, we are so often caught up in the immediate stuff of life when we would do well to step back and see what really is going on around us. Do you like my picture I've got up on your TV screen? That's a cute dog. He's having a serious think about life, that dog is. And we need to have a serious think about life. And that's all that Moses really did. Moses enjoyed the wealth of Pharaoh. Of course he did. Who wouldn't? Moses enjoyed having fun. Of course he did. Who wouldn't? I mean, everybody likes to have fun. Anybody here like to have fun? If you don't, there's something wrong with you. Of course, Moses enjoyed sinning when it meant he could have more fun. Who wouldn't? Who agrees with that? That sometimes sin can be pleasurable. You're really spiritual Christians today. You're not giving nothing away, hey? You're not giving... Come on. You know, sins are very pleasurable. The Bible says, talks about the pleasures of sin. And absolutely, but it also says that it's fleeting. And if sins weren't pleasurable, then we wouldn't get tempted to sin because it's not pleasurable. And that's the whole thing about sin. It is pleasurable, but it is fleeting. We understand that. But one day, Moses took a step back in his life and he looked around at what was happening around him. He looked at his Egyptian friends and he questioned what they were all about. You know, what's the point of going to all these parties? What is life really all about? He looked at the Hebrews. He observed their pain. He pondered their future. He considered the Egyptian gods and he also considered the God of Israel, Almighty God. He looked at himself. He looked at his own heart and what is life really all about for me? And he weighed everything up. And sometimes you got to do that with life. Everybody, please listen. Sometimes you got to do that with life. Look at yourself and weigh things up. Just don't get carried along by your mates. Don't always follow the crowd because the crowd doesn't know where it's going. I went to the footy last night and watched the Eagles beat St. Kilda. Amen. But as I came out of the footy ground with 50,000 other people, I had no idea where I was going. But the lady said to me, just keep walking with the crowd. And so I did. And fortunately, I got on a train going in the right direction. But sometimes the crowd doesn't know where it's going. And the crowd, ladies and gentlemen, is not always right. Is somebody listening to me? And some of us, you know, sometimes we've got friends who we hang out with who are not actually good for us. And we probably need to stop hanging out with those friends who cause us to fall into sin and temptation. You know, we've got to think and take responsibility about what is happening with me, with my life. Think about where you're headed with your life. There's more to life swirling around you than you see and feel. And Moses did all of that, and he considered what was happening, and against his own common sense, against his own feelings even, he made a decision to follow Almighty God rather than to follow the gods of Egypt. It's a big decision. And that meant that he had chosen to suffer rejection and loss instead of owning the riches of Egypt. That's how serious this decision was. But he did this, he made this decision because he saw that there was an eventual reward for those who devoted themselves to Almighty God. Moses understood rewards better than anyone else. Remember, Moses was a man who won the world's biggest jackpot. But he reasoned that the eventual reward of following, obeying, and loving Almighty God was far greater than the jackpot of Egypt. Come on, come on. He's still with me, come on. And Moses made that decision to turn from the pleasures of sin even when there was no immediate benefit. He turned from Egypt and there was no immediate benefit. He made that decision and then he suffered for it. And his decision cost him. And ladies and gentlemen, sometimes the right decision is initially a very painful decision. Not all good decisions make you feel good. Often the right decision can cause some pain in your life. Who knows what I'm talking about? Seriously, but it's still the right decision. And it was true. The Hebrews were suffering and the Egyptians were prospering. That's what was true. It seemed like the gods of Egypt were doing a better job than the gods of the Hebrews. That was true, absolutely. But Moses saw beyond the immediate. Moses saw him, the Bible talks about this, who is invisible. He did it by faith. Moses saw him who is faithful to his promises. Moses reasoned that it's far better to be on God's side than on the side of the Egyptians. And after that decision, Moses lost everything. He did. He lost everything. And he was an outcast, absolutely, from the Egyptians and the Hebrews. He was an outcast for 40 long years, but he never regretted his decision, and God never forgot Moses. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what's going on in your life, but if you've chosen to follow Jesus, God has not forgotten you. Yeah, you might be going through some pain, but God has not forgotten you. You listening to me? He's not forgotten you. Then at the right time, God showed up. Praise God. I like it when God shows up. Come on, I like it when God shows up. You know, we need God to show up here at Real Life Church. Amen? Amen? God always shows up sooner or later. Who likes it when it's later? Put up your hand. Who prefers sooner? Amen. Praise God. But he shows up at the right time. And God appeared to Moses and called him to go back to Egypt and lead the Hebrews out of Egypt to the own promised land. And Almighty God revealed his power to the Hebrews, and he brought judgment on the gods of Egypt and upon Egypt himself. And the Lord came and defended his people. And I want to say to you is that the Lord is your defender and he is your vindicator in Jesus' name. The Lord came and rescued his people, and the Lord will rescue you also in Jesus' name. And Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. Their days of slavery were over in Jesus' name. And as the Israelites left Egypt, they asked then the Egyptians who had all the money for their gold and for their silver, and the Egyptians gave the Israelites everything. Egypt was ruined. There was no wealth left in Egypt. And when the glitter and tinsel was removed, everyone could see that Egypt was a destroyed nation. There was no fun left in Egypt. But the Israelites marched out a blessed nation. I'm talking about you today. Amen. And a nation chosen by the Lord, a nation headed for their promised land. And when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, and that's a great story, they were the ones partying. They were the ones dancing. They were the ones laughing and rejoicing at what God had done for them, because God turned their mourning into dancing and their sorrow into joy. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Praise God. Could you all give me a smile? Just like you've got, let's just pretend you've got a bit of joy this morning. Amen. You know, we got joy deep within us. Amen. Praise God. It's coming out now. Amen. Praise God. Moses gave up the jackpot of Egypt for the jackpot of the kingdom of God. And it was the smartest thing to do, and it's still a smart thing to do today. Moses gave up, think about this, Moses gave up the potential chance to lead Egypt, so God chose him to lead Israel instead. Moses was cast away from the presence of Pharaoh, but he was allowed to step into the presence of Almighty God and into the glory of God. That was a nice story. Everybody enjoy that story? Yeah. Some of you learned that story in Sunday school. I get all of that. But we now come to the important question. What on earth has that got to do with you? What's that story about? What's it got to do with us? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that story has actually got everything to do with you. It's your story. It's my story. Or at least it can be. Egypt represents the world. Pharaoh represents the devil. The Hebrews or Israelites represents the kingdom of God, the church. Moses represents, help me out here, Moses represents you and me. And God represents God. Amen. God represents God. Okay, so what's this story got to do with us? Let me explain really, really super quick. When a person is born, the world tries to snatch that child away from God. This happened to you. Happened to me. We've all lived under the tyranny of Pharaoh. We've all lived under the tyranny of the devil. Am I right or am I right? Under the leadership of the devil, the world then tries to surround the life of that grown child with the values and priorities of the world. This is what happens. It happens to our kids. We bring our kids up in our homes, but how many times do kids come home with values that you never taught them? They got it from somewhere else. The devil wants to make sure every person is gripped by the pursuit of happiness, possessions, ambitions, and prosperity. Pharaoh, or the devil, wants to make sure that people are led by pleasure rather than being led by wisdom. The devil makes sure that people in the world are too busy to consider that there is actually another way to live their lives. And so people find it really, really hard to break free, and they live and die only ever living under the tyranny of the devil. And their reward is only the pleasures of sin. They don't know that there's another way. In addition, the devil ridicules Christians. Who knows that in Australia today? Christianity is really coming under a lot of pressure, even in this country. And so he ridicules Christians and tries to put them down. He tries to make Christians look like they're old-fashioned or fanatical, out-of-touch losers. You know, if you looked at the news and television these days, that's certainly the impression that you would get. But God is showing up. But God is drawing people living in the world to Himself, and so that they can be free and enjoy the rewards that God gives to His own. So even though the devil's at work, God, the Holy Spirit, is also at work. Amen. And He's working in your life. And God knows that the world can never ultimately satisfy a person or give meaning to their life. It's impossible. God knows that the world will fall, it will fail, and that Pharaoh, the devil, will be destroyed. That's going to happen. So God speaks to people's hearts, and maybe He's speaking to your heart today, just like God speaks to all of our hearts, drawing you to Himself. And He calls people out of the world to come and be part of the people on earth, His church, His kingdom, whatever you want to call it. And when God calls somebody, for that person, it's a really big deal on so many levels. You know, I just want to tell you this. We have a great service on Wednesdays here at 10 o'clock. And most people who attend our service on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock, they don't know about church. They don't, you know, we hear all sorts of interesting words in that service. But people are hungry for God. And they need to know that there's another way to live their lives. And we're seeing people come to Christ on our Wednesday service. And that's a big deal for them because they've never heard such good news. But it's also a big deal because sometimes it's tough. It's a tough decision to follow Jesus. It's a tough decision because you've got to leave the world and its tinsel and the glitter of the world. It's a tough decision because the things of life can be so seductive and so alluring. Who knows what I'm talking about? You know, it just drags you in and you don't even know it's happening sometimes. But if you do not leave the world, its values, you know, we live in the world, don't we? So you can't take off from the planet. You still got to shop at Coles. You still got to go to work. I get all of that. But we're talking about its values and its way of looking at life and doing life. If you don't leave the world behind with its values, opinions, and priorities, then you will never enjoy the rewards that God has for those who follow Him. And I think it's what happens to a lot of Christians. They really, really mean well. They're good intention. They want to be blessed and loved by God because we talk about that so much. But on the one hand, they want to be blessed by God. But the reason why their Christian life isn't working is because they keep looking back like this at what's happening in their old life. And some of them mixing with their new friends and they're out mixing with their old friends and they're wondering why the Christian life is not working for them. You can't have one foot in the world and you can't have the other foot in God's kingdom. It doesn't work. If you try to do that, eventually you'll have the splits. You'll do the splits and it'll hurt. You can't have one foot in the world and you can't have the other foot in God's kingdom. It just doesn't work. And we've all probably tried it, haven't we? Moses got out of the world at great personal cost. It wasn't easy. In the same way, God calls us to leave the world's ways and values behind us and follow Jesus instead. And there is a cost. Absolutely. I'd be lying to you if I said there was no cost. There's always a cost when you follow Jesus. Sometimes you lose your friends. I remember in my own family, my dad, his story in particular, because it splashed on us. When my dad became a Christian, he came from a family of eight. And his oldest brother, my Uncle Bill was a communist, full-on communist, full left-wing guy. And my dad became born again, his younger brother. And my Uncle Bill said to my dad, he said, if you don't stop being a Christian, I will never speak to you ever again. And, you know, we've heard that sort of things before. And so my uncle made that threat to my dad. And so my dad had to decide. And my dad loved his brother Bill. Always did love him till the day he died. He died of cancer in Mexico. That's where my Uncle Bill ended up. But you know what? My Uncle Bill never, ever said another word to my father ever again. They lived in the same house, walked past each other, and he refused to speak to my father. That was a cost in his family for him to become a Christian. There's always a cost. Sometimes it costs you the effort to give up addictions and habits. It is effort, absolutely. And leaving the world behind, sometimes it can be unsettling. I mean, it common sense says it's got to be unsettling, because you've trained yourself to live this way your whole life, and now you're going to live following Jesus. Obviously, it's not going to be easy. Obviously, it's not. And it requires determination. It requires effort. There's a cost, absolutely. But there's also great reward. And the reward's bigger than the cost. There's great reward in following Jesus, and it begins today in the here and now, and extends all the way through into eternity. And Moses had this figured out. The reward of the world cannot compare with the reward that God gives to those who turn their backs upon the world and follow Him wholeheartedly. Now, God's reward has three parts to it, and I'm just about finished, but this is so important. It's got three very important parts. Number one, the first part, the great reward, is Jesus Christ Himself. He is our reward. Amen. And the hymn says this, the old hymn says this, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. Yes, I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world offers me today. Christ is our reward. Amen. And only people who have left the world and put their faith in Jesus Christ have any idea of what I just read out just then. If you understand what I just said, you're born again. Secondly, the other second part of the great reward is the mighty divine promises of God's Word that we discover in the Bible. Oh, please read your Bible. God's Word is rich in favor and blessing for us today in the here and now. And today we discover in the Bible that God rewards those who come to Him with forgiveness. Oh, to be forgiven of your sins. Money can't buy that. You know, there's all these money people who've got so much money and they live with shame and guilt every day of their lives. Oh, to be forgiven for our sins. Hope. We have hope. Salvation. Peace. Love. Here's a biggie. Purpose. My life really does count. Your life really does count. Strength. Wisdom. Joy. Righteousness. Victory. Health. Power. And relationships with others who are following the Lord. God's Word is a gold mine of favor. Dig into it and find your rewards. Thirdly, finally, the great reward we receive is eternal life. The world cannot give you eternal life. The world can only give you damnation and death. But God gives the treasures of heaven to those who leave the world and pursue Jesus Christ. That's a good place to say amen. Come on, amen. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Instead, he chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to His great reward. In conclusion, what about you? What about you? If you are living for yourself, some people say, I'm not living in the world for the world, and I'm not living for God. I'm doing my own thing. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. You know, if you're living for yourself, then you're still living in the world. And I urge you today to leave the world and choose to live for Jesus Christ. It's the smartest thing you can do. If you're living with one foot in the world and one foot in God's kingdom, you know, trying to be the best person you can with a foot in the world, then remember Lot's wife. Remember what happened to her. While escaping from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, she hesitated. She hesitated because her heart was back in the world. Her heart was back in Sodom. And she hesitated. The destruction destroyed her. Therefore, the solution is get both of your feet planted in the kingdom of God. What are you waiting for? Amen. So, remember that Moses was a man who had won the world's biggest jackpot, but he reasoned that the reward of following, obeying, and loving Almighty God was far greater than the jackpot of Egypt. What about you. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Come on. Service is going to be finished in about 3 minutes, 2 minutes even. But let's just, right now, close our eyes, let's bow our heads, and let's just have a holy moment. You have your own sacred moment right now. And Father, I just pray for my friends who have come to church today, and I'm so glad that they're here. And I bless them in Jesus' name. And we're all on this thing called the journey of life, and we're all at different stages. We get that. And Lord, we just pray right now that each of us will have our own sacred moment at the conclusion of this service. And I pray for people here today. I bless them today. I know that you are speaking to people's hearts. You are calling them out of the world to you yourself today. And I pray that all of us will have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us today. And so, Father, we just pray that this word will stay with us through the week, that we won't forget what was said, that it will resonate with us through this week. But ladies and gentlemen, while we're still praying, before we go home, I just want to give you an opportunity. I don't want to presume things. I want to give you an opportunity today to respond to God. Maybe, you know, you're doing the best you can, but you're living your life with one foot in the kingdom of God and the other foot, you know, in the world as I've described. And today you're saying, yeah, well, that's really not a smart thing to do. I want to be like Moses. I want to get the great rewards of Almighty God like Moses. If that's you today, nobody looking around, let's just pray, hey? Let's just pray. But if today, why don't you respond to God and say, God, out of my heart, I'm just saying to you, forgive me, cleanse me. I want to be fully devoted to you. And that kind of prayer is one that God responds to. I'd love to say a prayer for you. Can I do that? If that's you today saying, Pastor, pray for me, I'd be honored. Just let me know who I'm praying for. Just give me a wave of your hand right now in Jesus' name. God bless you. 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 Hey, we're coming back to Jesus. Hey, we're coming back to that heart of worship, the old song says. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray. And those of you just raise your hand, why don't you just put your hand upon your heart? You know, thinking about life, what's it all about, where are you going? And Lord, we just thank you for your message. We thank you for your word. We just put our hand upon our heart and we're saying, Lord, our heart is yours. And Lord, we've been challenged today and sometimes it's pretty uncomfortable, but Lord, we need it. And Lord, we pray that our heart will be yours forever. And I just pray for my brothers and sisters who have been straddling the fence, one foot in the world, one foot in the church, one foot in the kingdom of God. Lord, today we don't want to live like that anymore. We come back to you. We repent of our sins. We ask you to cleanse us. We ask you to forgive us. And Lord, we don't want to follow the world anymore. We want to follow Jesus Christ. Lord, even if it costs us, we're prepared. Lord, even if we suffer loss for a while, we're prepared. Because, Lord, we figure out that the jackpot of this world's got nothing compared to the jackpot of following you. I pray for those who feel a bit discouraged, Lord. They've tried to follow you in the past and they've been wounded or things didn't work out. I just pray, Lord, that you wash all that away and encourage them today that this is a new day for them, a new beginning. And Lord, I speak over their lives that the best is yet to come as they follow Jesus Christ with all of their heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? Come on, can we give the Lord a hand?